Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
7 minutes past five now, and riddle me this. What if your child is tested for COVID and turns out to be negative, but still has some symptoms? Do they immediately return to school? Or what if they are tested, they are negative, they then become symptom-free, but you develop a cough? Do they immediately return to school? GPs fear that there isn't a clear-cut answer, and this is going to elevate anxiety levels in already stressed parents. For more, I'm joined by GP Matthew O'Toole and Louise Bayliss, spokesperson for Sparks, Single Parents Acting for the Rights of Kids. Welcome to you both, and thanks very much for joining us this evening. Matthew, to you first. At the beginning of the week, we were told that NPHET was working on guidance for parents about when a child would need to be tested. Has this guidance materialised in GP's office as yet?
No, it hasn't, and I suppose we're expecting to be kind of, you know, very, very busy this winter dealing with queries, like you've mentioned, from parents, from questions from schools and from employers. So the HSC and the Irish College of GPs have set up a working group to try to work through this. Now, they haven't reported back to us yet, but to answer your question, NPHET haven't provided us with clear guidance yet, but we are expecting that because, as I said, we're expecting to have a very busy winter, so we will need very clear-cut guidelines, both for GPs and for parents.
So are there any guidelines at the moment?
So the guidelines we're working off at the moment, there are guidelines for creches, and the HBSE did publish guidelines for childcare facilities. But other than that, what we're working off at GPs at the moment are the guidelines that were published several weeks ago or several months ago. So basically, we don't differentiate between a child or an adult. So basically, if you have symptoms in keeping with COVID-19, which is a cough, a fever, or a loss or change in your sense of smell or sense of taste, then at the moment, we're sending you on for testing. And at the moment, that is the way it will continue until we're told otherwise. But I envisage what will happen this winter is that we will be referring a lot of people and a lot of children for testing.
I know the answer to this question already is going to be on a case-by-case basis. You'll make a determination. But broad brushstrokes, the kind of hypotheticals that I raise there, if you have been tested, if you come up negative, but you are still showing some symptoms, what would your advice be about leaving the home and returning to the workplace?
Well, so the advice in this is very clear. So basically, if you have a negative test result, then your advice is that you need to remain at home or restrict your movements until you are 48 hours symptom-free. So that means, for example, if you present to your GP with a cough, we get you tested, the test result comes back negative, but you still have a cough, then by right, as the guidelines are at the moment, then either you or your child should remain at home and off school until you're 2 days or 48 hours symptom-free. Okay. So the guidance is quite clear.
And if I develop a cough in the meantime, but the child becomes symptom-free, should they continue to remain at home?
Yeah, so I suppose this is where it starts to get complicated. So I suppose the definition of a close contact that we're working off at the moment is somebody who has spent more than 15 minutes in your company within a 2 metre distance. So that's basically mother, father, everyone at home. And I actually discussed this with Public Health today. So basically, if a member of a household is getting tested for COVID-19, then their close contacts, which essentially is everybody within the house, must restrict their movement until that person who's being tested's results comes back. So what that means, Philip, is we're in for a disruptive winter. People will be, I'd imagine what will happen is, parents will have to take far more time off than they previously would have had because, as I said, individual members of the family will have to self-isolate until we get test results. So we are in for a disruptive winter. People need to brace themselves for that.
Because the logical conclusion of what you're saying is that particularly in a large family, everybody will have to be sniffle-free, temperature of 36.8 and in the fullest of their possible health for 48 continuous hours before anybody can leave the house and go to school, which is pretty rare in, let's say, a household of six people.
Yeah, well, that is, as I said, if you're following the letter of the rule at the moment, that is what the guidance is. Now, I mean, obviously, as GPs, we will use our clinical acumen on a case-by-case basis. But at the moment, the reality is that threshold for getting a test for COVID-19 is quite low. So as I said, it's a new onset of respiratory symptoms, which is a fever, a cough, a shortness of breath, or again, a change in your sense of smell or taste. So the threshold is quite low. So that is the way it'll be at the moment. Now, the reality is, Philip, is we're quite busy anyway when it comes to winters with flu. And the way we're going to have to manage that this year is going to have to be very different, because clinically, it is quite difficult to differentiate between the flu and COVID-19. So we're going to have to treat the vast majority of people as if they have COVID. So that's a huge departure and change for us.
What would you say right now to anybody who has been reluctant or sceptical or didn't see the value in getting the normal flu vaccine at this time of year or in September?
So we're pretty bad in Ireland at getting the flu vaccines. That I'm talking about myself. So healthcare workers and members of the population are very poor. Our flu vaccine uptake is very poor. It needs to be at least 75% for it to be effective on a population-based level, but we're never near that. So this year is going to be critically important because, you know, whether it's for your children, and this year children from the age of 2 to 12 will be covered by the flu vaccine, or whether it's an adult, I think it's hugely important because we need to basically mitigate any potential risks. And the reality is, as I said, if the vast majority of us do get the flu vaccine, what we'll see is like what's happening in Australia at the moment. So the measures that we're putting in place for COVID-19, so social distancing, washing our hands, wearing face coverings, that's happening in Australia. They're in the middle of their flu season at the moment, and there's very little flu activity. So my hope would be the combination of the COVID-19 factors that we're using at the moment and the fact that hopefully our uptake of the flu vaccine will be much, much higher. It'll mean that we'll have much less flu around. But it's a no-brainer. People have to do it, because otherwise what they're going to be facing, Philip, is having to take large amounts of time off work, either for themselves or their children. So it's one little thing that they can do to protect themselves, protect others, and to reduce the amount of disruption that they're facing this winter.
Louise Bayliss, Single Parents Acting for the Rights of Kids. Good evening to you, and thank you very much for joining us as well. What myself and Matthew were talking about there was really the kind of traditional nuclear family, 2.4 kids, and Matthew described it as being disruptive for single, a disruptive winter. I mean, for single parents, it's going to be impossible, isn't it?
It's going to be a nightmare. And from what Matthew was saying there, it's the idea of symptom-free that really strikes a chord. Because I know for a fact, my own daughter, say, from about October to January or February, she has a persistent cough. Now, I've tested her for asthma. It's not asthma. It's just whatever weather we have, the dampness. She does have a cough. Now, if I have to wait 48 hours from her symptom-free, I'll be going back to school and work in next March or April. And I'm sure there are an awful lot of children and parents like that. And it's just the whole disruption to our children missing education and potentially us missing jobs. Now, I'm lucky, Philip, I work from home at the moment during current COVID. But I do know that I wasn't able to physically do my job from home and adequately educate my child from home. You know, it was one or the other. I couldn't do both. And if we're in a position next winter that every time she has a sniffle, and even if she has a negative test, that we've to remain the 48 hours, I won't be able to keep up with her studies. As I said, I'm lucky that I can work from home. But if I am called back into the office and I have to do it, there is a real risk that I would lose my job. And I know from around the country that many lone parents are absolutely terrified that as jobs are being recalled, that they won't be entitled to retain the pandemic unemployment payment. We all know this week legislation passed saying that you need to have genuinely seeking work. I mean, how do you do that if you're at home with a sick child? There's a lot of things that we're really worried about. And as you said, it's just impossible for a lone parent to manage both earning and learning. And, you know, and now managing children on your own as well.
We've never managed to square the circle on childcare problems anyway. So
no.
I throw in the additional complication of a pandemic and it all only gets much, much more knotty, doesn't it? But have you any ideas, have you heard any suggestions from other single parents as to how we might best avoid absolutely making people's lives impossible?
Well, I mean, like, I'm the campaign coordinator for Focus Ireland, and we've been running a campaign in conjunction with Spark, in conjunction with National Women's Council, Children's Rights Alliance, Vincent de Paul, One Family, all of these organisations, where we're acknowledging that it is impossible for parents, especially lone parents, to return to on-site working if childcare isn't squared. And what Matthew has brought up there, these potential problems with school, is obviously a case where childcare won't be sorted. We've asked for things like the TWSS and PUP to be continued to be paid until normal childcare resumes. And that's what we've been looking for. It was disappointing on Monday when legislation went through saying that you had to be genuinely seeking work. But we're hoping INTRIO will adopt a more lenient attitude towards parents with childcare costs. And today, actually, I was at the pre-budget forum in Dublin Castle and this question was raised. And Minister Humphrey was very clear, saying that she expected lone parents to try their best to get childcare. And she expected employers to be flexible around it, but in the worst case scenario where this didn't happen, that she would continue the paying parents to stay at home with children. But how long that continues, and is it on a discretionary basis, it's all up in the air, and it's very worrying for a parent trying to raise children at home alone with the added additional worry of finances falling apart.
Matthew, technically you don't need the guidelines until the end of next month, the end of August, but when do you expect them and how soon would you like to have them?
So we're expecting that the joint HSE Irish College of General Practitioners Committee will produce guidelines within the next 2 weeks, which will give GPs about 2 weeks to familiarise themselves with the guidelines. And that'll be, you know, a very welcome development. I suppose the reality is that we're facing these issues now because a lot of children have gone back to creche. And what we're doing is, you know, assessing each case on a case-by-case basis. But the clarification, I'm imagining that we will get, you know, it's not going to deviate a huge amount from the situation that we have at the moment, because the reality is, like, the threshold for the testing of COVID-19 will have to be low. We will be testing a lot of people. So, you know, I think the guidelines will provide some clarification, but I still think we need to be very honest with parents and say, look, you know, we are in for a winter of disruption and there's no two ways about it.
And does that, being honest with parents, extend to, let's say, hypothetically, and you'll excuse me, Louise, taking the example of your child, saying to Louise or to any other parent, no, look, I'm sorry, I can't write you a letter saying that little Johnny or Mary has a persistent cough. We need to adhere to the guidelines and we need to keep on testing them as long as they have symptoms.
Yeah, so we're actually facing these situations at the moment. So the reality is what we're being asked at the moment is to certify children as not having COVID-19. We can't do that unless we have a negative test. When it comes to situations like you describe where children have persistent cough, again, the GPs will know the children, they'll know the parents, and they will be able to assess kids on a case-by-case basis, as I said. I mean, you're right, coughs can go on for several weeks, and if children have asthma, that's something we'll have to look into. But ultimately, the way I envisage this planning out, basically, is children will have to get tested, and once they have a negative result, then they'll be able to be certified to go back to school. Because it's very difficult as a GP, as I said, to certify as a child as not having COVID-19 without getting them tested. What you described in terms of children having to be symptom-free or a resolution of their symptoms for 48 hours, that is a difficulty with children, and particularly with costs that can persist. And perhaps what we'll see in 2 weeks is further clarification around that. But at the moment, the rules of the guidelines are as I described.
And I presume you'll have no choice but to charge for every visit.
Well, at the moment, thankfully, the HSE, so COVID-related consultations, are covered by the state. So if somebody contacts me today with a COVID-related query and I refer them on to get tested for COVID-19, there's no fee for that. And as GPs, we would really advocate that that continues, because what we cannot have is any barrier for parents or for individuals in contacting GPs to get tested. Because, as I said, the message needs to be, if you develop any symptoms or if your child develops any symptoms, contact your GP and we will get them tested. Because what we don't want is for there to be any reluctance in people in contacting us and for there to be any financial barriers in doing so. So I hope that the fact that anyone who contacts us looking for COVID-19 testing, I hope that remains free until the end of the pandemic.
Matthew O'Toole and Louise Bayliss, thank you both very much.